Do you believe in magic, plant magic, friends? Because that's what we're talking about today. Oh, hi, plant friends. You know, when we were kids, magic was an easy thing to believe in. It seemed natural that there were these larger magical powers at play. And when it came to casting spells or making potions or looking to the stars and wishing, it just seemed natural and not weird at all. And maybe you were like me and were obsessed with watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch as a kid, but I won't force that on anyone. And then as we got older, the world conditioned us to give up our belief in magic. And with that, I kind of think our own magic might have faded, along with our curiosity and our open mindsets and ability to question everything. I always say that plant care is an invitation to reconnect with our curiosity, our sense of awe that we access so easily as children. And maybe it's also an opportunity to reconnect with our own inner magic. We'll be exploring that today on
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, I'm so excited to bring you today's magical episode with my friend Raquel. It's a conversation near and dear to my heart, but first I need to welcome so many new Garden Party members. Welcome back to the Garden Party, Melissa P., as a member who took a hiatus and rejoined us, and welcome to our brand spanking new little seedlings of Garden Party members, Mary G., Nicole G., Holly, and Carol W. If you don't know, the Garden Party is my community platform and app for both iOS and Android, and I like to call it the kindest and plantiest corner of the internet. In it, you can make new plant friends, propagate your knowledge, and grow more joy in your lives. We have a free 2-week trial available for you in the show notes if you want to check it out and see if it's for you. Also, I think an annual membership is only $60, I think, and that would make for a fantastic Christmas gift this holiday season. And speaking of the holidays, plant friends, we're like in full holiday season planning, gift shopping, life, holiday mode right now. And if you can, please support the Bloom and Grow Radio sponsors this season. If you support them, it helps them support me create these free episodes for you to enjoy and learn and bloom and grow from. All of our sponsors and their coupon codes are on my website at bloomandgrowradio.com/shop. And also the today's sponsors codes are in the show notes. So to the episode topic today, magic, plants, is there a correlation? Yes, my plant friends, there is. And my dear friend Raquel from Infinite Succulent is the most magical plant lady I know. And she's written a truly magical book called Plant Magic, where she explores the mysticism, the magic, and wisdom that our plants have to offer us. I've personally been going on a bit of a magical and spiritual journey out here in the woods. The woods have really changed me and helped me really connect to something greater than what I thought was possible. If you're interested to hear more of my personal magical journey, stay tuned till the end of the episode where I'll share. But for now, it's time to meet Raquel, who makes connecting magic to plants practical, easy, and inspiring. Welcome back, one of my dear OG sponsors, Modern Sprout. Modern Sprout is designing planty products that inspire you to bring the healing power and magic of plants into your home. When you think of planty products and accessories, my plant friends, you must think Modern Sprout. Grow lights? Modern Sprout. The sexiest and most functional watering can on the market that I'm obsessed with? Modern Sprout. The best plant-inspired gifts for everyone on your gift list this year? Modern Sprout. We know I love their grow lights. I've used them for years. Their watering can I never stop talking about, but I have to tell you about this new product that they've launched that is totally aligned with this magical episode. Try to connect to the cosmos by growing a flower inspired by your zodiac sign with their adorable cosmic seed kits. So each zodiac sign is aligned with an element, water, fire, air, and earth, and matched with a flower that represents that element. The gorgeous packaging is designed to be refolded into a little origami star pot that you can actually start the seeds in. It looks super cute and whimsical. This is the perfect gift for your friend who's into astrology, aka me, or the cutest stocking stuffer for anyone you want to gift a little magic to in your life. It's really cute. It really is, Plant Friends. And the best part is each kit is only $8.99. So you can grab one for yourself or one friend, or grab a bunch and have them on hand to gift throughout the season. And Modern Sprout is offering a special discount for Bloom and Grow Radio listeners. Get 20% off your order with code GROWINGJOY at checkout. So that's modernsprout.com/growingjoy. And I'll do you one better. Visit modernsprout.com/growingjoy, and I will give you my top gift picks for the holidays. There's a little landing page with all of the products of theirs that I use in my home and how I use them. You should check it out. This offer ends December 31st, so make sure you cash in for the holidays with code GROWINGJOY at modernsprout.com. So we've actually already done a whole podcast offline of catching up, and I feel like we've had two very deep moments that we didn't catch recording, so hopefully we can replicate it later today.
Definitely. We know that it's there. It'll just come back.
Welcome, my friend. Welcome back to Bloom and Grow. When was the last time you were on here in 2019 at the live event that we did?
Yes, that was so fun.
Oh my God, that was so fun. Before we dive into what that was, do you want to introduce yourself for those who might not know you?
Sure. Well, first of all, Maria, thank you so much for having me here. I love your podcast. I love your community. My name is Raquel Cohen, and I am a spiritual life coach. I'm a nature connector. I'm an author. I'm an energy worker, and I'm also an intuitive medium, which sounds like a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a multi-hyphenate. I mean, as artists, I joke, you know, the actors joke that we always have multi-hyphenates, but that might be the longest multi-hyphenate I've ever heard.
It's long, but basically the way I kind of clarify it for myself and my clients is that I help people reconnect to nature and reconnect to their own soul through their relationship with nature.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And, you know, we've known each other for a while now. We connected on Instagram probably in like 2018, and then ended up doing an event together when I was on tour with Cats in San Diego. We did such a cool succulent crown workshop at Barrels and Branches, one of the best nurseries in San Diego. I absolutely love it. And it's been really fun for me to see your journey over the past couple of years, because when we first met, you were the succulent crystal girl and you were making all this gorgeous succulent art, but you were mostly in the artistic space. And as I followed you for the last couple of years, but I'll always remember this about you, actually, Raquel, you brought me a crystal to our event, and it was this beautiful big crystal. And you said you had a gift for me, and you gifted me this crystal, and you said it was aligned with the throat chakra and that I'm using my voice for the podcast. You thought that maybe I could use it when I was podcasting. And it was like the most thoughtful gift. And I traveled with that crystal around the country while I was on the road with Cats. And back then, I didn't really know much about chakras. I didn't really know much about crystals. I traveled with some crystals, but I didn't really understand. And I was just like, wow, this is a nice gift. That was pretty deep the way she gifted it to me. And now I've been kind of on my own journey as I've learned more about this. And I've watched you just completely expand and unfurl into the complete plant witch that you are now. So do you want to kind of back us up? So I'm so excited to talk to you about plant magic today. Before we dive in, do you want to back up and kind of tell us your backstory? And you have such an interesting journey to how you got where you are today.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. And yes, that event was so fun, by the way. I really enjoyed that event. And thank you for that beautiful story of taking that crystal with you on your travels. That really touches my heart. So thank you.
Oh, I still have it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So it's Soda Light. For anyone who's listening who is a crystal person, the crystal she's speaking of is Soda Light, which aligns with the throat chakra. So my background is actually more in the sciences. I started off as an environmental educator with a specialty in marine education, ocean education. I have a master's in marine biodiversity and conservation, and I worked for about a decade in places like the Sea Life Park Hawaii, San Diego Zoo, and the Monterey Bay Aquarium. I worked as an educator, and I also worked as an animal trainer and animal specialist. And ever since I was really young, I knew that I had a very deep and very spiritual connection with nature, especially because I was raised in a very religious home that did not align with me. So I never felt the sense of the divine in the places I was supposed to, right? Like in synagogue or in the prayers. Like for me, I always felt it climbing the trees, at the beach, just being outside. So I was involved in ecology. I was involved in environmental education. I wrote curriculum around climate change and ocean acidification and biodiversity. And I loved what I was doing. And I think I was a pretty good educator because I'm pretty passionate and I love chatting with people. But I was also dealing with a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression. And we often call it ecophobia, that kind of existential fear that we can sometimes have about environmental destruction. So here I was teaching about the possibilities for a more sustainable future, but internally, I was really depressed because I just felt like we have all these solutions, we have all this knowledge, and nothing's changing. And yeah. Then I became a mom, and after my first daughter, it's interesting because when I was pregnant with my first daughter is when I actually started really getting into plants. And you talk about this in your book, Maria, Growing Joy, where you mention about kind of like the plant blindness.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I was very involved in nature. I would teach about plants, but I didn't interact with plants on a personal level. For me, I was way more engaged and involved in the animals, being an animal trainer, a wild animal specialist. I was just more interested in animals at that time. And every time I tried to bring a plant home, I would pretty much kill it.
I can definitely relate. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got pregnant with my first daughter and we moved from Monterey back down to San Diego. And I just really wanted to bring plants into the home. I think it was part of the nesting thing. So I started getting some plants and actually started keeping them alive. And then after the birth of my second daughter, I got really anxious, like really, really anxious. And then insomnia came in and I was getting like 3 hours of sleep a night and dealing with terrible anxiety and just feeling like, what is wrong with me? Like, I just felt like I was spiraling in dread and fear, and I couldn't connect with the blessings of my life, with the joy of motherhood, with the joy of my children. And I went back to therapy and, you know, got some help. But my therapist was an energy worker on the side. And she said to me, you got a lot of stuck energy. You need to get creative. Here's a great book for you to start with. And so she recommended Julie Cameron's The Artist's Way, which if you have not heard of it.
Oh, I love The Artist's Way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a book about getting through writer's block. But writer's block doesn't just mean writer's block. Writer's block means creativity block, which is a blockage in the sacral chakra. We can talk a little bit more about chakras later on. But anyway, I started reading that book. I started doing morning pages. And all of a sudden, I felt this urge to make art with succulents. I just felt this urge to start using plants and making little art pieces. So I'd clip succulents from the garden outside. I'd find old vases and jars. And the first thing I started making was these little terrariums. And when I was making the art, everything in my mind just went quiet. And for anyone who's ever dealt with anxiety, one of the symptoms of that is you have what's sometimes called the monkey mind, where your mind is constantly chattering at you and spiraling, and you just can't really quiet your mind at all. And so I was able to quiet my mind and find a sense of flow and mindfulness just by working with the clipped succulents, some soil, some stones, pieces of wood, and just making art in that way. And it was so profound that that's basically how my business, Infinite Succulent, started, was through making plant art, through connecting with mindfulness and presence, through creativity, learning to unlock your own creativity. I had no idea I was an artist before I started working with the plants in this way. And so then I started getting really into succulents. And this was back in like 2016. So Instagram was like really starting to rev up, and Instagram, like the succulent pages on Instagram, were really starting to have beautiful organic growth. So I just started like consuming so much of that content. I got all into succulents. I started making so much art with them. I would go to thrift stores and find anything. I'm like, I can plant a succulent in there. And it just kept growing. I started doing workshops, teaching other people how to make art with succulents. And then one day at the thrift store, I found a crystal that was a candle holder. So it had a hole drilled into it. And I, of course, I was like, I can plant a succulent in there. Mm-hmm. And I brought it home and I planted it. And as I was planting it, I was like, I feel something. Like I just felt energy in my hands. I felt just a difference around me. And another thing that was really cool as I was working with the plants is often when I work with succulents, if I'm making succulent art, I would have a little bowl of water next to me. So if I was, you know, taking a plant and I realized it was very dry, I kind of give it a drink in the water before I'd be replanting it into an arrangement. And one of the things I noticed was that I could actually feel the plant drinking the water and feel when the plant had enough just through my hand when I was doing that. And I was like, what's happening here? Like, how am I knowing this? How do I just know this? And how am I feeling this? So I got really curious and I started studying about crystals and crystal energy and energy work just in general. A little bit more backstory. I've always been the person who friends would come to when they were in pain. Like if their back was hurting or they were having a stomach ache, they'd be like, can you just rub my back? Can you just put your hands on my stomach? Your hands always help me feel better. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I would just kind of put my hands on them and just rub. And I would notice that my hands would know where to go to. Like, you know, sometimes on your back when someone's rubbing and you can feel it twinge somewhere else.
Yeah.
My hands would just know where that somewhere else would be to go and touch, to kind of release. And so when I started studying energy work, I realized, whoa, like, I don't know if you believe in past lives or anything, but I do. So I kind of realized that I have this knowledge inside of me that's like so subconscious that I just kind of know what to do without knowing how I know what to do. And so when I started studying energy work, I studied a little bit of pranic healing and crystal healing. It's like it just my whole being kind of just expanded. And I started working a lot with the plants and the crystals for transforming energy, for moving energy in my own personal body and as well as energy for others. I realized when I was teaching workshops where we were making, you know, succulent crown pumpkins, the conversations people would be getting into, the levels of kind of self-acceptance they would get into just by being in this creative space, I just noticed that there was so much more happening than just us making art. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it all started.
That's so beautiful. So your first book, Infinite Succulent, is a DIY crafting book that like teaches, right? That kind of teaches you how to do these art projects that you were doing, which was very representative of the first half of your story. And now this new book that's out is all about that energy work.
Yes. So the new book is called Everyday Plant Magic, Change Your Life Through the Magical Energies of Nature. And that's really the work that I do. It's to teach people how to connect with the energies of nature and use the energies of nature to create more magic in your own life. Now, what is magic, right? Like, how do we even define that? In the book itself, I say if you ask 10 different people what magic is, you'll probably get 10 different explanations. And in some ways, that's very valid because I think magic is a very personal thing. But the way that I define magic is, so I define magic as a spark of divine life force that's in everything. So when I started learning about energy and truly understanding that everything is energy, everything we're interacting with, all of us, all our food, all the computers, the microphones, I mean, everything is energy vibrating, pulsating at different frequencies. So once we know that, we can start understanding that we can move and transform these energies. So I see magic as this divine spark of life that's in every single thing. And the act of creating magic or making magic is the intentional movement of that energy. So it's really interesting because when I was working on this second book, the idea that I first had was actually really similar to your book, Maria, which was a sense of using plants for more wellness in your life. And I was really going to come at it from this place of like the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits of living and working with plants. And I was working with this one publishing house, and they were like, okay, well, this is a cool concept, but it's huge. It's like an encyclopedia. What if you just focused in on the spiritual use of plants? Because that's really interesting, and we haven't seen that before. So I reworked the book proposal for them for that. And I was really excited about it because I'm like, this is how I live. This is my life. But they were like, we don't know how to sell this book. So they came back to me with the idea of, well, what if we marketed it as everyday plant magic, where we can talk about the magical uses of plants? And at first, when they told me that, I was like, okay, well, does that still feel aligned for me? Because I felt like it was going to be a lot of spells and a lot of kind of like very witchy, quote unquote witchy stuff that perhaps I didn't feel like I was the expert on. But then when I sat with it and was like, wait, magic is transformation of energy. It was like this light bulb went off in my head, and I realized, wait, that's exactly what I do. I'm totally a green witch and using plants for magic, because I use plants to transform my energy, to transform my clients' energy, to transform energy of spaces, and to call more into my life. So once I was able to kind of reframe that for myself, the book just completely fell into place. And it felt really magical, actually, the way that that happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. You just said a couple of things that made me smile. Number one, the fact that we both almost wrote kind of a similar book, but our books are both so different than that original idea. There's a great book that I think everybody should read if they're creatives called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Have you read that yet?
Yes, I love that book. I actually need to reread it.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, I try and read it like every couple of years. And she tells this great story about how she feels like books have like almost spirits, because she had this idea for a book, and then this other woman wrote the exact book that she had. And it's been a while since I've read the book, so I'm really doing a bad job telling the story. But I do feel like the stories get told. If I've learned anything in the last couple of years, it's that it's not going to look like what you think it's supposed to look like, but it's going to be exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is kind of that story with your book. And honestly, with mine as well, is that like you think it's going to be one thing, and then you've just got to say like, okay, universe, take the wheel, like show me what I'm supposed to be doing with this. And then you kind of follow the energy. And I also think in terms of timing, if you had gone and pursued the first book that you were writing, it might not have came out at the right time for you. And this timing that this book is coming out is so important. We had just started offline talking about why the work that we do is so important right now compared to any other time in history, and why it's never been more important to connect with nature. Do you want to kind of dive into what we were talking about offline?
Yes, I would love to. But before I do that, I just wanted to state, because you mentioned something about like kind of giving it up to the universe and the divine timing. And I actually, in my book, in the acknowledgments, I thank all the rejection that I had for this book in particular.
Yeah.
Because in the years of rejection I had to get to this book deal that actually came through, I learned in that time how to cultivate my own intuitive skills. I was taking courses. And so when it came time to actually write this book, I was in a place where I could sit in meditation and connect with the energy of each plant. I would not have been able to do that 2 years ago. So I completely trust the journey that I have been on with this book, because the rejection that I had helped me grow into the person who could actually be the writer of the book that came through.
100%. Oh my God. I could totally agree with some stuff that happened with Growing Joy along the way too. It's like, I couldn't really finish the book until I had gone through what I went through in order to write my author's note, which I'm continually getting feedback that that's like the most impactful thing that people read. So I'm totally there with you. But yeah, I mean, in terms of why this is important, I just feel like in society right now, it's just like, it feels like we've never been so overstimulated and our nervous systems have never been so fried. Everyone I talk to is experiencing burnout. Everyone I talk to is experiencing imposter syndrome, self-doubt, extreme transition. I think everybody in the last couple of years has been forced to go through some form of extreme transition. And it feels like everyone's tired and flailing and like looking for some simplicity, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like plants are the answer to that.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you so much. I think that, you know, we were talking when we got started, we were talking a little bit about trauma and that we're at a place now in society where we can recognize that we all have trauma. And not only that, we all have shared trauma. Now, of course, the way trauma plays out for each person is different, but the truth is that every single one of us has experienced some form of trauma. And in the last few years with COVID and everything that's come with it, that's been a shared trauma that we've all experienced. And in some ways, there's a blessing in that because it's created a space for us now to have these very important conversations around trauma, around emotional intelligence, around wholeness and wellness from the standpoint of the physical body, the emotional and mental body, and our spiritual connection as well. So I think that we're having deeper conversations right now, and I think that's very, very important. When it comes to trauma in particular, there's so much that goes unsaid still now, but it doesn't go unsaid in our bodies. We might not speak it out into the world, but our bodies hold on to that energy of trauma. And unless we learn how to move it from our bodies, it's an energy that we're still carrying around with ourselves. And when we're looking at it from an energy transformation perspective, when we're filled up with older, stagnant energies, it's very difficult for us in that moment to receive the fresh energy, the fresh prana that's constantly being sent to us from Earth and from source energy as well. So we have to learn how to allow energy to move through us so that we can continue to open to receive an energy that promotes a bit more wellness in our life, a sense of more movement, a sense of more ability to adapt and flow with what's happening in our life.
And how do you feel like plants have that energy and help us channel that energy? Yeah.
Okay. So going back to the definition of magic itself being the intentional transformation of energy. And then we look at plants, right? And plants who take these raw materials of Earth and take the sunlight that comes from the sun, and they transform this kind of raw material into actual physical material that we can eat, that we can, you know, make medicine from, that we can make materials from. So plants themselves are a magical bridge between Earth and heaven and us here. Plants also have this ability. I mean, they're constant. It's so hard to see because plants seem so still to us humans, right? But internally, there's so much movement happening in a plant. Underneath the ground in their roots, for most of the plants that have roots, there are some that don't, but what's happening underneath the ground in the roots, what's happening within the plant with the flow of, and you're probably going to know better than me with some of the scientific terms, but just the way that they're flowing energy from their leaves down into the rest of them, flowing energy from the earth back up, they're constantly moving energy. So that's one way that we can connect with the energy of the plants themselves. Another way, and this is so fascinating because plants are working their magic on us all the time, even when we're not realizing it. And you actually really hit this in your book, Growing Joy, and in the way that you talk about plant care as self-care. And I like to refer to this as passive plant medicine. Because often we talk about, we talk about plant medicine and it's often like things we ingest, you know, different herbal teas and tinctures and obviously the foods we eat. And then of course now getting into the psychedelics and that whole world of plant medicine. But there's also a more passive plant medicine where the plants are able to influence us, our energy and our health just through their presence alone. And aromatherapy is a good example of that, right? If we're, I mean, obviously, if we're using essential oils, we are talking about extraction from the plants and consuming it that way. But if we're using aromatherapy more like when we're gardening and we can breathe in the scent of the rosemary or the basil or any of that when we're gardening, that has an impact on our limbic system and that has an impact on our immunity as well as our sense of happiness. Like it affects our serotonin as well.
Just smelling a rosemary plant?
Well, rosemary is really good with memory, actually. But the truth is that all plants, every single plant has an impact on our serotonin levels because they create negative ions. Are you familiar with negative ions?
Yeah, but remind me.
Yeah. So negative ions are actually positively charged molecules that are in the air, but they are only found in nature. So typically, you know, like after a nice thunderstorm and you go outside and there's like that kind of like smell in the air and it just that everything feels different right after a really good thunderstorm. That's the negative ions. So they're really prevalent after thunder and lightning storms. They're found around flowing natural water. They're found in the mountains and in forests, and they come off plants. So they're not created, like you're not going to find negative ions when you walk into a building unless there's plants in that building. So the way that negative ions impact us, and there's a lot of different science out there about it. Some people even say that they can help with allergies and dust accumulation as well. But one of the biggest things negative ions do is they actually increase our ability to create serotonin, which is one of the hormones that helps us feel better and happier. So that's really cool. Like just having them around naturally increases our body's ability to feel joy, to be honest.
Thank you to our longtime sponsor, Territorial Seed Company. Plant friends, I know that it sounds insane, but it is time to start planning your 2023 garden with help from Territorial Seed Company. They have over 40 years of experience and high quality products that you can trust. Everything I grew this year was Territorial Seed. That incredible dahlia you saw all over my Instagram that was ombre, yellow to pink. My tomatoes, they have incredible seeds and seedlings. Order early and put your mind at ease knowing that you'll be getting all of the essential seeds, plants, and supplies that you need to grow your best garden ever. I love, love, love Territorial Seed. And they've got a discount for you just for Bloom and Grow Radio listeners. It's GROW10, GROW10, for 10% off your first order. Once again, that's GROW10 at territorialseed.com for 10% off your next order. Welcome to one of our newer sponsors, Air Care Humidifiers. Plant friends, if you are in the market for a humidifier, look no further than Air Care. I'm loving the one that's in my office as I record this episode for you today. As we enter the winter months and heaters kick on, a lot of plant parents turn to humidifiers to increase the humidity in their homes, to avoid brown, crispy leaves, but also to avoid that like croaking you experience when you wake up in the morning and you're like, everything's so dry. My home's humidity can get as low as literally 25% humidity. It's so dry where I live. And plants really tend to thrive more between 50 to 80% humidity. My issue with humidifiers in the past has been that they're not very stylish. They're that weird baby blue kind of baby room style. They're clunky, they're really hard to maneuver, they're hard to clean, and AirCare has solved all of those problems. AirCare is the humidifier company dedicated to not only making high quality and smart humidifiers, but making them stylish. And many of their models come with essential oil diffusers, which makes me so happy. I've been diffusing Thieves Oil in the Mesa model in my office all fall, and it's brought me so many fall vibes. It's so fun. And the humidifiers have movable nozzles so you can direct the airflow and not get, you know, your walls wet or your furniture wet. And they come with remotes, and many of them have digital screens that monitor the humidity levels, which is really fun too. Plus, they have 27 different models, so literally a model for any room and home size. So Air Care, Plant Friends, is offering an insane discount for Bloom and Grow Radio listeners. They're coming in hot with 20% off at checkout at aircareproducts.com. So visit aircareproducts.com and use code BLOOM20, BLOOM20 at checkout for 20% off site-wide. Insane. Go check them out. I love the Mesa model. hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. It's interesting, too. A lot of what you're saying reminds me of just the... And I feel like at this point, hopefully everyone knows what the term biophilia means. If we don't know it, I'm sure there's a definition in Growing Joy, and I'm sure there's a definition in Plant Magic too. But it's this concept that as humans, we're intrinsically designed to be connected to other living things. And it's interesting that the beginning of your journey started with your connection with animals, because that's a big part of biophilia that people in the plant space don't talk about. But the big reason why pets make us feel so relaxed is that biophilia effect, but also the fact that just by being in the presence of other living things, like we have blood and fluids rushing around our body at all times, just like plants have water rushing around their bodies and their xylem and phloem, you know, we have so many similarities to these plants that I don't think many of us really understand how similar we are. We all have DNA. We all, you know, breathe oxygen. We all do a lot of these similar processes. Yeah, we have brains, and plants have a different type of brain than, you know, than we do. But it is that recognition of life within each other and that ability to kind of transmute and share that life force with each other that I think makes people feel so alive and so restored. Yes. When in nature, because you're surrounded by life instead of, you know, dead, toxic things in your office, you know, like, it's so different. And I think anybody knows that. And there is a reason why every WeWork and every Office Space now are hiring biophilic design firms to put plants in their spaces. Like, this shit is real. And I think people can get really off put when you use the term magic. Magic used to be really triggering for me personally. Mm. Like, you know, I've had my own journey with magic in the last year. I actually recently bought the book, The Green Witch.
Love that book. I love that
book. It's a great book. It's a great book. And personally, the term witchy still, I don't resonate with that term for myself. Mm-hmm. But the more I read about witches, the more my world becomes open. And no, I don't personally feel or see myself as a witch, but I feel myself as super spiritual. And there's some stuff in that Green Witch book that I'm like, shit, this is, yes, absolutely, 100%. There is a relationship with plants that we can have, you know? And then I also feel like a lot of people go through this process that I'm going through right now, thinking witches were, you know, the Salem witch trials and feeling like it's a super negative stigma. And then finding witch talk on TikTok or finding the Green Witch book. Cause I'm like, oh, it's a witch book, but it's about plants. Like, maybe I am interested in that.
Yeah.
And then kind of just letting your world continue to expand and expand. And I think any way that we can figure out a way to reconnect with nature, whether it's self-care practices, whether it's spells, whether it's spirituality, whether it's whatever it is, I just think figuring out what works for you is so important. And you make this so accessible in this book that you've written.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I think one thing that's fascinating, especially when talking about like green witchcraft in particular, is that yes, it's about connecting with the energy of the plants and using the energy of the plants to enhance your own connection and your own energetic essence. But it goes deeper than that because we also look at the plants themselves and what's influencing them. And that's the earth and that's the sun and that's the different moon cycles and that's the seasons and that's the elements. So when we're talking about really connecting with nature, yes, we can do so with the plants. I think the plants are the most easily accessible way to reconnect with nature. But
totally.
With them, yeah. But what's interesting, especially in my book, is the whole introduction. I'm not even talking about plants that much. I mean, I talk about plants in the sense that how magical they are. And just talking
can we
about... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, can we talk about the opening line of your book, which is "Welcome Home"?
Yeah.
That, when I read that, I got goosebumps.
Yes. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's an important, and I think as I've seen this in our community, not magic related, you feel disconnected to plants, you get reconnected to plants, and this part of your heart opens up that
yes.
had been dormant for a while.
Yes.
And I just felt like you captured that really beautifully. Would you mind reading the first line for us?
I would love to. So this is in the introduction and I write, "Dear friend, welcome back." Yes, I said back because this book is meant to awaken within you deep remembrances from your ancient soul. Back to a memory we all possess deep inside that knows we're not separate from the earth or any of her inhabitants, but are instead an integral part of an interconnected whole.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I think, you know, when you say plants are the best gateway to this reconnection with the whole magic, I see that with also just getting reconnected with nature in general. If someone gets a houseplant, then they get a bunch of houseplants, then they decide to do an edible garden, then they get into landscaping, then all of a sudden they're thinking about native pollinators, then they're researching pollinators and they're realizing the bees, then they're learning about the bees, then they're getting a bat house, then all of a sudden they're volunteering at the beach cleanup. Like, the houseplants can really be the gateway for this infinite, for lack of a better word, kind of unfolding and awakening that we can have with this reconnection with nature from a spiritual or a non-spiritual level. So I just feel like that first sentence captures a real inherent experience that a lot of us have.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I think this goes going back to biophilia as well. So for me, the biophilia is that deep remembrance. The biophilia is our cells telling us we are home in nature. This is where we evolved. And with biophilia is this knowing that, I mean, basically it's the idea that we evolved in nature with plants. And so our bodies actually know best how to be well in those spaces. And so we can then reverse that to understand that if we're not in these spaces, if we're not allowing ourselves to have this relationship with other species, with the plants, with the other animals, our bodies are not functioning in the space of that ancestral wholeness and wellness. And this goes back to kind of what we were talking about before we hopped on to record, which is this theme that I think is so important that I think we need to talk about a lot more, which is that we really can't separate the discussion around human health and human wellness from planet health and planet wellness. How could we talk about our own health and wellness without talking about the health and wellness of the air, the water, the soil, the foods that we eat, the places that we live? I just don't see how we can separate those out. And yet we have been. And I think now we're kind of coming to a place where we recognize these are completely in relation to each other. And it's, you know, it's the concept we hear about in spirituality all the time, which is that the macrocosm and the microcosm are really just mirrors of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a simple concept that's so confusing for so many people. And it's so confusing to why it's not so simple, right? Like, why don't we all understand this? Why isn't this taught in schools? Why isn't there, this is actually a big part of my journey to exploring The Green Witch, the book, is that in the last 2 years, I felt really called to reconnect with spirituality. And like you, I was raised extremely religious and in a religion that I don't relate to. But I miss that community. I miss that spirituality. I miss the structure of study. Like, I miss that, but I just wasn't buying into the religion I was raised in. And so I started doing all this research. Actually, after reading Braiding Sweetgrass by my favorite book. I feel like I talk about it every single podcast episode. I'm so annoying. My listeners are probably like, we get it, Maria. You like that book.
It's such a good book. Everyone should read that book.
Everyone should read that book. I remember Googling, is there a church for nature? Like, is there a nature-based religious practice? And I think the indigenous people have come closest to it. I haven't learned of any, like, you know, structure where that is. But I'm like, why isn't that a religion? Like, why is should we start that religion? Like, why, you know? And that's what brought me to being, you know, to the Green Witch, because I feel like it's the only kind of structure that talks about worshiping Mother Nature, yeah. You know?
But you know what's funny though, Maria, is that when you look deep enough in any of the religions, mm-hmm. there is elements of worshiping nature in all of it. Because the truth is, at least what I believe the truth is to be, is that before we had organized religion, we were all living with a religion that, I don't want to use the word religion, but with a sense of the divine that came from each other and the world we lived in.
Yeah, and with reverence to the earth, because we were connected, we were way more dependent on being connected to the ground and foraging and hunting and making fire. How many of us have never made a fire before, you know, in this day and age?
It's still the truth, the big T truth is that this earth is abundant and provides for us every single thing we need to survive. That's always been the big T truth, but we have completely disconnected from that in our modern society because very few of us are actually working the land and gaining our resources straight from the land anymore. We're getting it through many hands of production. And again, those things, whether they're super mass produced, whether it's a Dorito, like ingredients from Doritos, as terrible as they are, like some of that came from plants,
right?
the corn.
Right.
Or wheat or whatever it is. I don't even know what's in Doritos.
No, totally. I think you make a great point though. And something I say a lot is like, you know, we've gotten farther and farther disconnected from nature because of society, because of, you know, the fact that we go to the grocery store and we buy tomatoes in a plastic box instead of growing them. But we have to wake up and just understand it's our responsibility then to figure out how to reconnect ourselves. We're all adults.
Beautiful.
We're raising the next generation of adults. We're raising the next generation that's going to have to deal with this climate crisis. So it's our responsibility to figure out how to reconnect with nature, whether it's with a houseplant on your desk or whether it's with spells and magic or whether it's with, you know, going out for a walk and forest bathing.
Yeah.
So from plant magic, what would you say? Could you give us a couple of recommended, you know, maybe rituals that people could start playing around with if they're curious?
Yeah. Okay. So my first ritual has to do a little bit with being really intentional with where you place your plants. Now, of course, we have to consider the needs of the plants themselves, right? You know, so knowing how much light they need, you know, how much light you have in the room. But from there, this is really fun. And my book goes into this a lot. Like, for example, where I'm sitting right now in my desk space, looking in front of me, I have a Dracaena, a small dragon tree. I have a Sansevieria, a snake plant, and then I have a Syngonium. And those are extremely intentional. Dracaena and Sansevieria are both higher in more motivational yang energy. And they're very much like, let's do the thing. Like when I look at a, here, I'm going to bring it down so you can see it. When I think about a Sansevieria, I often tell my clients, it looks like an exclamation point.
I love that.
Right?
It looks like an exclamation
point. It looks like an exclamation point, and that is the energy of a snake plant.
I love that.
Let's do it, but also stay back, you know, like a little bit of like, they're kind of protective, but they're also like, let's do the thing. Let's do the things. Dragon Tree Dracaena also has a lot of that energy. So I have some plants around my workspace that are specific for like staying motivated, staying focused. But then I also have a Syngonium, which is got more heart-shaped leaves and is a little bit softer, but is so adaptable. The Syngonium I have right here is both climbing and draping. So it has a little bit more of the go with the flow and open to receive energy. And so I'm balancing both of those in my workspace so that I have the motivation that comes when I look at my snake plant and my Dracaena. And then I have a little bit more of the open to receive, a little bit more intuitive energy of the Syngonium, which is great when I'm in a writing place or when I'm writing my moon letters or things like that, where I want to be a little bit more receptive and less like forceful. So I'm very intentional with the plants and where I place them. So for example, another good example for a ritual with that, with snake plant, a great place to put your snake plants is at an entryway. They're beautiful in front of your front door. They look great, but they also have this energy of kind of protecting against bad energy coming into your home and holding on to the desired energy within your home. So they're wonderful for that as well. So first ritual can be just getting really intentional with where you're putting your plants for the energies they can bring on. Now, some other ways that I love doing rituals with plants, making fresh teas. We actually had a conversation about this
the
other day.
You were voice memoing me. Yeah. Yes. About my spearmint tea. Yeah.
Yes. So I love making fresh teas from herbs in my garden. And typically what I do, you can definitely take your herbs from your garden and dry them and then hold on to that as dried plant material. But I really like making fresh teas. And so I'll just go out into my garden and grab some basil or some mint or, you know, some feverfew or whatever it might be. Sometimes I'll even use some passion flower leaves and I'll just kind of cut them up a little bit, put them in the bottom of a French press and then just pour some water over it, let it steep, plunge it down. Beautiful, fresh herbal tea. And when you make it into a ritual, what you're doing is you're really bringing intention into this practice. So when I go out and I clip the herbs, I'm giving thanks to them. I'm giving thanks to my garden. I'm giving thanks to the plants themselves. And then as I cut them to get them ready for the tea, I'm thanking them for the specific energies they're going to be bringing in. So for example, if I'm using passion flower leaves, it's because I want to connect more with my intuition. So I'll be, as I'm cutting that up, I'll be, thank you so much, passion flower, for your ability to help me connect with my own intuition. Mint is another one of my favorites. And mint helps me connect more with clear communication and my own confidence. So I'll thank it for that as I'm getting it ready for my tea. So it's just a little, bringing a little bit more intentionality into what you're already doing. And this works wonderfully if you love to cook with herbs too. So this is kind of like kitchen magic.
Yeah, a kitchen witch, another type of witch. So, okay, how do you know what plants have what energies?
Okay, this is a great question. And you just got the green witch, so that has some of that information in there. You can definitely, for those people who like to do research, there's so much information already out there about the energies of especially herbs and flowers, some of the magical properties and energies of those plants. So you can definitely just go read up on it and learn that way. And then from there, as you continue to work with your plants and you continue to trust your own intuition, you kind of just ask the plant. And here's a really good example of that, okay? A few years ago, I was going to the nursery to get some new starters for my veggie garden, some more herbs, and I saw this plant there that I was not familiar with called borage.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that all over the place.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what this plant is, but I'm really drawn to it. Like, I just want to buy it. And I don't know why, but you know what? I'm going to trust that. I'm going to buy it. So I brought it, I took it home, and then I researched it. And it turns out borage is aligned for people who tend to hold themselves to really high standards and nothing they ever do is good enough for them. And they tend to overthink and overanalyze their things. And I was like, that is exactly what I needed in that moment. I had no idea that that was the magical property of borage. When I bought it, all I knew was that I was drawn to it and I felt compelled to buy it. That was the plant talking to me energetically.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That just comes when you start working with the plants and trusting your own intuition and like trusting those little, I like to call them pings, like when you just kind of get this kind of compulsive desire to like touch. And this works with crystals too. If you ever go into a crystal shop and you're just like, I just need to touch that one, right? Like that's the energy of that particular stone connecting with your energy and creating an attraction, letting you know there's an attraction here. Yeah.
It's so interesting. It's such a new world. And obviously too, in plant magic, you have, so the way your book is laid out is very cool. Can you kind of talk about it? It's like the first half and the second half of the book?
Yeah, for sure. So the first half of the book is, which is kind of more the introduction, is really bringing people back into the magic of nature itself. So starting off with defining magic, defining plants magic, but then we get into connecting with nature. So understanding that every aspect of nature has magic available for all of us. So connecting with the sun, connecting with the moon cycles. We're on a full moon in Pisces today, actually.
I know. Isn't that perfect? Because
so we, perfect.
For those who love astrology, we were supposed to record this 2 days ago. Mercury retrograde hit me real bad. All week, I've been really out of sorts. I locked myself out of my house yesterday, too, in addition to all the crazy shit that happened 2 days ago. So anyway, we had to reschedule to today, and I didn't know it was full moon today, but here we are. So it all happens for a reason.
It totally does. And what's so funny, and this is something I talk about with like my friends and my clients all the time, is when you start working with moon energy in particular, you'll just notice that your life starts connecting in with the energies of the moon. Like today just so happened, we're doing this on a full moon. My book is coming out on a full, wait, is it a full moon? It's either a full moon or a new moon eclipse.
Mine came out on a new moon.
Which is perfect. New beginnings, planting the new seeds. I mean, perfect.
Okay. Yeah. I have to ask you, I wrote this down. So Billy jokes that I'm a moon lady. And I think the most connected, profound connection I feel is to the moon. I'm still exploring. I've just finished a wonderful book called The Moon Book. I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with the moon. And Billy makes a lot of fun of me about it. But anyway, you said a moon letter. What is a moon? When I'm writing my moon letters, what is that? Should I do that tonight to the moon?
No. Well, I mean, it's always good to write a letter to the moon, which is really writing a letter to your own emotions, because that's really what the moon represents, is your emotional being. So that's actually just my newsletter to my subscribers.
Oh, that's your newsletter? Yeah.
So I do.
I'm like, is that a spiritual practice in your book that I missed? What's a moon letter? That sounds amazing.
I do actually often add a lot of spiritual practices and rituals into my moon letters, but I write a newsletter.
Well, here's a plug for Raquel's newsletter. You should subscribe to the moon letter because it's really good.
Yeah, so I send out a letter for every new moon and every full moon that talks a bit about the energies of that moon and ways to work with it. Yeah.
I'm such a knucklehead. I'm on your mailing list. Okay.
So the sun, the moon, and then I also introduce people into working with the seasons, the elements, the directions. All of these things have energies to them, and a lot of times they're intertwined and connected. I walk people through creating an altar, which is just, an altar is basically a dedicated space you create that helps you bridge your physical reality with your spiritual reality. And I like to, every time I create an altar, I make sure that I include something from every element so that I'm also honoring the elements themselves. So I walk people through that. And then because the magic I work with is through human energy system, through the chakras, I share something in the beginning of the book all about the chakras, what they are, what body parts they relate to, what emotions they relate to. And then I also share practices for using nature to balance your chakras. Like, what does it feel like when this chakra is balanced? What does it feel like when it's imbalanced? How can you use nature to get back to a place of balance? I introduce crystals. And then the second half of the book is all plants. And there's 45 magical plant profiles. So for each plant, I talk about the magical properties, but I also talk about the elements they're associated with, the chakras they help align to. I talk about crystals you can work with this plant in particular. a different magical way to either place the plant or work with the plant. Some of the plants have rituals attached with them, which include guided meditations, include some spell work, including a manifestation spell jar, which is a ritual that I called in like one of the most exciting gigs I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that with Ariana Grande, right? What was that?
So while I was writing the book, I was creating a couple of magical rituals that were going to be included in the book. This one was specifically around calling in abundance and like abundant opportunities for business growth. And as I was working this magic, I had gotten a request from a PR firm to create 60 of my amethyst succulents, which is where I plant rooted succulents into beautiful amethyst crystals. And the PR firm was like, okay, well, this is for a pop star who is putting out a new line of something. And this is going to be some gift boxes she's sending. And I was like, cool. And they're like, oh, by the way, it's Ariana Grande. I was like, oh, cool. So I sent out the original 60. And then like the day after I sent out the original 60, it happened to be a new moon. And I have a friend over and I'm like, let's do some magic. Let's do the spell jar for calling in abundance. The next day, I get an email from the PR firm. They hadn't even received the first 60, but I get an email that says, the client loves these so much, she wants to include them in her holiday VIP gift boxes. And she was like, we want to order 100 more. And I was like, okay. And then within a week, it was like up to 225 more.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I ended up planting almost 300 amethyst crystals that were for Ariana Grande's holiday gift boxes last year.
Did you send Ariana her own special, like, big one?
You know what? Like, I wish I could have, but I was working straight with a PR team, so I had no idea what was going to whom. Like, obviously, I have no real contact with, you know, the famous pop star.
That is so cool.
And the plants that I used for that were lemongrass and mint and a bit of dried avocado leaf. And there's reasons behind that. Lemongrass is amazing for calling in luck and abundance and positivity. Mint is amazing for abundance. And avocado leaf is really great for confidence, like really core confidence. So I use those in, and
then some other things too. I need to do this immediately. I need to do this immediately. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yes.
I feel like when I first ordered the Green Witch and in this journey, I've been... And you know, it's interesting. And I'll be honest, like with your book, I think everyone should get your book because I'm in this space right now where I just feel like being judgmental about anything just doesn't make sense anymore. It's too much energy. We should be open to everything. We should be receptive to new ideas. We should be open, right? The biggest issue with our country right now is no one listens to each other and everyone thinks they're right, right?
Yeah.
So
agreed.
And in this moment in my life, when I read your book and when I read a lot of these, you know, magic books, a lot of it doesn't quite resonate with me yet, right? I'm not quite there yet. But my mind has been opened. Like I'm not casting spells right now, right? But my mind has been open to the chakras, your chakra chapter, and the energetics of it. And that opening chapter of your book like really moved me and I learned something. And so I feel like this journey, like a kind of parallel, running parallel to our journey with plants. It's like, you're never going to know everything about plant care. You're never going to have all the plants. There's always something new to learn about. It's kind of parallel in your spiritual journey where like, you know, in this moment, I'm using these chapters from your book, but I could see in a year or so, I'm hearing your Ariana Grande story. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to try my first spell. I think I'm going to do that manifestation spell.
Yeah. And the truth is, Maria, I'm not that big on spells either. Like when you think about witches like standing around and saying something that rhymes, like I think there's one ritual in my book that actually has like a written spell. And I think even that one, I'm like, say this or something like this, because I'm not big on like telling other people what to say. I'm really big on people using their own intuition and making these rituals their own.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to one of your podcasts from a few weeks ago with Nia from
Bloom Journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you shared the story about how you have this beautiful waterfall near your house. And you have this moment where you go under the waterfall and you're touching the moss and you're like having this moment with Mother Earth, right? Like you're talking with her. Mm-hmm. Do you feel her respond when you're in that moment?
Oh, 100%. We go once a week now.
Yeah.
And Billy knows it's like we can go, we get wet, and then Mia has her Mia time with the waterfall because that's his nickname for me. But I have to go talk with my waterfall and talk with Mother Nature. And actually, when I'm struggling with anything, I always bring my questions to her and I offer up, I say, I connect with her, I hold the moss, and I normally have a question on my mind and I ask for guidance or I ask to show me the way or like to show me, you know, I don't need the answer, but I just ask to be supported as I work through whatever I'm going through.
Yeah. And what does it feel like for you when you get a response?
Magical. The whole, it all feels magical. And you know, it's interesting. You shared a beautiful definition of magic. My definition of magic to me lately has been just connection, you know, like that life spark. But for me, it's more like, as I explore my relationship with magic, with energy, with spirituality, it's that connection, right? It's learning to connect with plants. It's learning to connect with your intuition, to connect with your inner being, to connect with others. I'm finding myself, you know, in conversations with a lot of people like you, all of a sudden having these really deep, really profound conversations that kind of go beyond a basic, hi, how are you? But it's that connection. And I do feel more connected to myself and more connected to a greater source, whether it's God or life force, Mother Nature, source energy, like whatever you want to call it. There is, I believe, something larger than us that we can work with. And I think it's rooted, you know, in connection and magic. And yeah, I mean, I'm so stoked for your book to come out. It's really beautiful. Where can people find the book and order it? Well, we're going to link everything in the show notes. And also, where can people find you? Because I've been loving your social media lately. You're totally, we talked offline about how we've both kind of really unfurled and grown into these new versions of ourselves and are starting to kind of reflect that on social media as well.
Yeah.
So do you want to kind of share where people can find the book and you?
Sure. Well, you can find the book where books are sold at this point. Like you can totally find it on Amazon. But if you head over to my website, infinitesucculent.com, under the shop tab at the top, you'll see a little tab that says Everyday Plant Magic. So I have a whole page on my website about the book. You can purchase the book now. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it from the link on my website. And I have some prizes on there too. So if you show me that you've purchased the book, you can kind of submit it on that link on my page as well. So you can find it there. And then you can find me on Instagram at Infinite Succulent. I am on TikTok as well. I have a pretty small following there, but I'm really enjoying TikTok.
I pitched you a series on TikTok for Witch Talk. So
you did.
Hopefully by the time this comes out, your Plant Magic 101 series will be on TikTok.
I love it. I love it. I'll be like deep in it by that point. And you can find me on my website, infinitesucculent.com. And I love this conversation so, so much. One last thing I'd really like to share with everyone. Well, two last things. One is also this big belief I have in sacred reciprocity, which means that as much as we take from the plants and from nature, we give in return. So a big part of the way that I work with nature and that I work with plants is as much as I know that I'm receiving from them, I'm also giving to them in the way I care for them, giving to them in the way that I care for my environment and keep environment in mind. And then in the book itself, the very end of the book, is all about ways that we can keep Earth in mind in our daily actions, because I think that is so vitally important at this time. And then the last thing I really want to share with everyone is that when we're starting to explore our own power and reclaim our own uniqueness, it can sometimes feel as though we're having to, you know, pull all these things around us, the plants, the crystals, to be the magic. But the truth is that we are the magic. We can use the plants and the crystals to help enhance our own magic, but please don't ever, ever give away your power, because you are the most magical thing there is. And I really hope that comes through in this book as well.
Oh, it totally does. What a beautiful way to wrap up. Well, I hope to have you back next year on Bloom and Grow for a magic update. So excited for your book. Everyone go get it. Go follow Raquel. And thanks for joining me again today.
Oh, Maria, you're amazing. Thank you so much for the beautiful communities, the beautiful communication that you're putting out into this world. I just love what you create. So thank you.
Thank you so much to Raquel for being a guest. This is a little bit out there, plant friends, but I will share with you in transparency. After my interview with Raquel, we had a really special conversation about my own magic and my own plant magic. And she's a medium, and she was able to connect with some plant ladies in my lineage that I got to talk to, which was really special. But, you know, she really encouraged me as Bloom and Grow is growing and developing, and we're kind of becoming different iterations of ourselves. She encouraged me to look at the yucca plant or other plants like air plants that grow pups, and to kind of lean into that type of life cycle in a plant. These plants that grow and then grow pups and feed their pups and allow their pups to grow and have that kind of be the cycle of life. And I've really been leaning into that. And when it comes to my own magical journey, plant friends, I haven't shared much because this is a plant care podcast. And, you know, I don't like to talk about religion or anything, you know, too out there or spiritual, out of respect for everybody and their own journeys that they're on. But I don't know if it's this woods. It's the woods that I've been living in. We moved to the woods. I've been in the woods for 2 years, and I have really felt a divine expansion in my connection to my own magic, but more importantly, the magic of Mother Nature and the moon also, like gardening by the moon and living by the moon. You know, our ancestors, this all came very naturally to them, recognizing Mother Nature as a spirit and the earth and spirits and the moon as this guiding force. And we've all gotten very disconnected from it. And I think as I'm in this natural world and I'm more surrounded by plants, I'm just more and more inspired to reconnect with that essence, that part of me, you know. And I don't want to get too out there, but I just know, like, the more that I've personally connect with nature and my plants on this connected level that goes beyond just watering, the more expansive, relaxed, and joyful I feel. It's like, I don't know. And I've struggled personally with religion a lot. I was raised Catholic. I lost my faith. I found it again. I've transformed. You know, I've tried on a lot of different spiritualities and hats. And although I'm not sure if honestly I subscribe to any of them and what philosophy, you know, I feel the most drawn to, what I feel most drawn to is nature and plants and being connected to what feels like a greater source energy, which I think is the earth's energy, natural energy, life energy. And plants are what have kind of brought me to this realization that has brought real moments of calm and joy to my life. So if any of this resonates with you, I can't recommend looking at Raquel's book, looking at ways to kind of explore your inner magic. You can DM me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Maria if you want to talk further about it, because I'm on my little journey, but it's bringing me a lot of joy and peace, inner peace. Plants and nature are really doing a lot for the inner peace of this plant lady. And I hope that this episode helps you encourage to open your heart to one thing that maybe it was closed to before when it comes to this more spiritual woo-woo stuff, and report back. I want to hear what you think. Make sure that you pick up Raquel's book. Thank you again to our episode sponsors. Their support is what helps me bring these episodes to you. If you know, supporting them is fantastic. Welcome again to our new members of the Garden Party. We're having a lot of fun over there. I've been polling people a lot lately on like what episodes I should be doing. So if you want to have some input in 2023 episode content, that's where I'm kind of polling the audience. And yeah, I hope that you find one magical moment with your plants in your life today and this week, my plant friends. And until next time, keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete.
You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile. And with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent. And most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode. Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary Garden Party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow Radio guest, Leslie Halleck. All in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood. Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant.
There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.